All right, so here we are. We're week five into our Experiencing God study. If you're new with us, visiting, whatever, we are going through as a church a study called Experiencing God. It was written by Henry Blackaby and his son, and then another gentleman couple decades ago. And I went through about 20 years ago in a church when I was in Sioux Falls, and it had a big impact on me. And just a couple months ago, I grabbed it again and was going through it. And I was like, man, we should really do this as a church. And so here we are. And we've got a lot of people that are doing that in small groups. And the stories that I've been hearing coming out of people's time together with each other has just been fantastic. It's just, I don't know. It's just been super encouraging and exciting to me to see that going on. So we're week five into it. And so we've been laying a foundation and building to this moment, and then things continue to build from here for a few more weeks. And today, our theme verse and the memory verse, I guess, for this unit is going to be John 8, verse 47. And in this passage, Jesus is talking, and this is what he says. It's a very, very sobering thing that he says here, which a lot of things Jesus says are. He divides the world into either this or this. And it's either you're this or it's this. And he does that again here in John 8, 47. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. It's a very sobering statement. I'll say it again. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. So we're going to be talking this week about what it means to hear from God, that God still speaks to us. And we're going to be kind of emphasizing the fourth of the seven realities that the Blackabies call the seven realities of experiencing God. Just by way of review, the first one we looked at is that God is always at work around you. The second is that God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. And this hearing from God speaking to us, is part of that whole thing. You have to understand, God pursues a relationship with you that's founded on his love for us. And it's a relationship that is very real and very personal. The third reality is that God invites you to become involved with him in his work. And we looked at that last week. He wants to use ordinary people to accomplish his mission. And here's the fourth reality. This is where we're at today, is that God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. So today, we're going to divide those four things into halves, and we're going to look at the first two ways that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit by the Bible and by prayer. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, those first two. Next week, we'll be looking at how God speaks by the Holy Spirit through our circumstances and through the church. But for today, we're going to be talking about how God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible and through prayer. It's a very interesting topic. And I got to tell you that for many years, I was not convinced that God speaks today. I was convinced that God speaks by the Bible and no other way. But I've come to understand that that's faulty thinking. Let me just explain to you a little bit what my line of thinking. For years, because I've heard the abuse of people saying, well, God spoke to me. And I'm like, I'm not so sure God spoke to you. But they've said, well, God, the Lord told me. And people that are pastors can be especially bad at this. I'm a critic of my peers because I've watched guys who, let's just say they're in a church where there's a lot of conflict and they're struggling and they're like, I'm just so frustrated and I'm ready to just leave. And they just pack up the family and they move to another town. And then their way of saying it in front of people is, well, the Lord has moved us. And I'm like, I don't know. Did the Lord move you? Did God tell you to move, or were you just ready to leave? So because I've heard people use this phrase, well, the Lord told me, it's kind of left, I'm just kind of like, I don't know about that. I don't know if God told you. I'm not sure I'm convinced God talks today to people in a personal way like that. So that was kind of my line of thinking for a long time, that this is how God speaks, and if it doesn't come out of here, it wasn't God. And I used to think that. until several years ago, my wife and I are up in our favorite camping place, which I'm not going to tell you where it is because it's starting to get crowded. We're in our favorite camping place, and it is quiet. And man, we make French toast every day while we're camping, and bacon, seriously, the greatest camp food ever. And then we make coffee, and we drink coffee by the bucket. And then we just sit and read, and just we really enjoy that time. And I decided that year to bring a book along that I had not read before. I'd had it on my shelf for a while. It's a book written by John Eldridge. And you've heard me talk about John Eldridge in the past. And just by the way, as an aside, when I mention an author's name like John Eldridge or other people I like listening to, teachers John Ortberg and others, when I mention them, don't take it as an endorsement that everything they've ever said is absolutely accurate. Because, listen, I'm convinced God won't let any one person be the answer all for everybody. He doesn't want to put people on a pedestal. He wants to put himself on a pedestal. So I don't think he'll ever allow any Bible teacher to ever say things that are always 100% accurate, right? If any of you have been following like what's been going on in the Christian news circle lately about this Ravi Zacharias, I don't know if you know about it, but a very, very famous and influential Christian leader died not that long ago. Come to find out, he's living a double life, a life of sin. And and for people that have been really loving his teaching, it's like it wrecks them because they find out that the guy that they thought was all this, and they find out, well, he's a hypocrite. He's not all that. I don't think God will let any one of us be put on a pedestal. I say things that I don't even agree with. So there you have it. I don't think anybody. So anyway, back to John Eldridge. I've been really encouraged in my walk with Jesus by a number of things that John Eldridge has read or written and things that he said in his podcast and things. There's a book that he wrote years ago called Wild at Heart. It was super helpful to me in understanding what does it mean to be a man. And it, distinct from being a woman, because men have unique ways we're wired. And if you're a woman and you're married to us, you know that. We're weird. And John Eldridge is super helpful in understanding why are boys the way boys are and men? What needs do we have? What's our heart cry? Gosh, that's been a helpful book. The other book that I would say that's been very, very influential for me personally is a book that he wrote called Fathered by God. And his subtitle to the book, Fathered by God, the subtitle is Learning What Your Earthly Father Could Never Show You. That God is our father, and overcoming all the hurt and the wounds of the earthly father relationship stuff been super helpful book to me to overcoming some of my hangups. Okay? So I grabbed this book, and I'm in the woods. And it's really quiet, and it's just me and a cup of coffee and Jesus, and I start reading this book, and the book title is Walking with God. The subtitle is Talk to Him, Hear from Him, Really. That's the subtitle. Talk to Him, Hear from Him, Really. So I'm reading this book, and it's written kind of like a journal over a year span, going through different seasons. And I got to tell you, I'm reading this thing, and I'm kind of getting a little irritated, but I don't know exactly how to put in words why I'm irritated. But I'm reading this, and he's talking about, I'll give you an example. He used the example of riding a horse up in the mountains in Colorado where he lives. And he's riding a horse out on their property, and he gets to a fork in the trail, and he can't decide if he should go left or right. And he's talking about, well, I should stop, and I should just ask Jesus, should I go left or should I go right? And I'm reading this going, come on. Like my BS meter is reaching its limit here. Like what? God talks to you about whether you should turn left or right on a horse? I don't know about that. And I keep reading. He has all these illustrations, all these very specific examples of hearing from God in very detailed little things throughout his day. And I'm reading it going, I don't think I agree with that. And then this thought enters my head. Well, how would you tell people what it means to have a relationship with God in just practical, everyday things? It's easy to criticize John Eldridge, but what would you say to people What does it look like? Wouldn't you, when you say, I have a relationship with God, what do you mean by that? And how is that different than I have a relationship with my wife, or I have a relationship with my kids, or I have a relationship with my neighbor, I have a relationship with the people I work with? When I say, I have a relationship with God, what do you mean by that, if not this? And I didn't have an answer. There's one word I would use to describe this book after I read it. Disturbing. It just disrupted a lot of the preconceived ideas I had about what does it mean to have a relationship with God, because I was uncomfortable with the thought that God speaks to me about very specific little things like should I turn left or right, but I didn't have a legitimate alternative that I would put forth and say to people, this is what a relationship with God looks like. Began a long, long journey for me of understanding what it means that God still speaks to us. Because for decades, I was convinced that this is the only way God speaks. Now, if that's where you're at, can I just challenge your way of thinking for a moment? Because I know, people will say things like, well, the Lord told me something, and I'm not sure the Lord really told them something. Just this last week, in fact, I was having lunch with a very dear friend of mine who's been a counselor in the Black Hills for decades. And he and I were having breakfast this last week, and I was telling him about what I was going to be preaching on this weekend, about hearing from God and that God speaks to us. And he's like, yeah, you wouldn't believe some of the conversations I've had with people in the counseling office over the years where people will walk in and they'll say, yeah, the Lord told me I need to divorce my wife. Like, you know, I mean, marriage has been on the rocks for a decade now. And, you know, it's just super frustrating. I know God would only want me to be happy. And so I know he just wants me to get out of this relationship because, man, it's the relationship with my secretary at work is just really easy. It's just, she's just really fun to be around, and we get in it. We just, I don't know, like the stars just aligned and we just belong together. I'm sure of it. God told me to divorce my wife. I can promise you that is not the Lord's voice telling you to divorce your wife. He will never tell you something that contradicts what's in here. Never. It's not God. That's something else. It's not God. And I know that because people abuse that whole concept and they use it kind of like a spiritual abuse thing. Well, how are you going to argue with God? If God told you, how do I argue with you, right? God told you, well, I'm not going to argue with God. He'll win. It's spiritual abuse, and people use it a lot. There is a danger in saying God spoke to me when, in fact, he didn't speak to you. That's a very serious matter. But here's what I came to understand. It's equally as serious to say God never talks to me. If he does, it's equally as serious to say God does not speak today to people personally. It's dangerous to say he doesn't do that if, in fact, he does. They're both wrong. They're both errors that we ought to avoid. I was convinced this is the only way God speaks. But here's where the breakdown in that kind of logic and thinking is because when I read this, there are 66 books in this Bible. And those 66 books were written by dozens of authors across lots of different continents, spanning thousands of years, that all tell the same story. They tell one story. They tell a story about a God who is real, who created the whole universe, and a God who is very personal. And over almost every page in here describes this God having personal conversations with ordinary people. And now all of a sudden, I'm supposed to believe that when this was done being written, God no longer acts that way in the way he's described here for thousands of years. And I've gotten into discussions. Christians don't have arguments, we have discussions. I've gotten into discussions with people over the years, and they've gotten heated about this very topic. No, you can't. It's too dangerous to say God speaks to us today. If he doesn't speak through the Bible, then you can't say God's speaking to you. And I'm like, But if this is the only way God speaks, then wouldn't you expect that in here, somewhere, it would say, when this book is done being written, I'm done talking? That it should be in here if this is the only way he speaks, and that when this was done being written, he's not speaking anymore. Otherwise, what authority do you base your idea on that says God never speaks anymore if you tell me the only authority is this? Then in here, it should say that. Otherwise, I'm taking your word for it, or some guy who wrote a theological book 50 years ago. Why would I believe him? That book, Walking with God, was disruptive and disturbing to me because I didn't have a way to define what I meant when I say that I have a personal relationship with God, and that and that relationship, what does that look like? And so that began a long journey for me. It's been going on now for a long time of me growing in my understanding of what it means to hear from God. And I can tell you that I do hear from him. And I hear from him frequently. And I don't mean it in the sense that he and I are sitting at a stoplight and he tells me turn right or left. Now, there are times when I feel that that's maybe a thing that specific. But very often he will speak to me through his word. Very often he will speak to me through my times of prayer when I pray in the same way that the scriptures describe here. I know it's him. I know it's him. But I don't talk about it a lot. And I don't get up and try to say, well, I have a word from you from the Lord, because it's a really serious thing to have a word from God. It's a very serious thing. But I've come to understand that by not addressing this topic, I'm robbing the church that I pastor from understanding in a better way what it means to have a personal relationship with God. Because the alternative is this. The alternative is this. Your approach to the Christian life is this becomes the source of information, and you approach it like you would, I would say algebra, but for some of you that's way too easy. But for me, it's really hard. So you approach it like I would approach algebra, which is there's this wealth of information out there that I don't understand. And if I just dig in deep enough and spend enough hours just processing through and accumulating more information, eventually it maybe start to make sense to me. Although I still don't know why if X equals 4, you don't just put 4 down. That's okay, but that's between me and my algebra teacher. All right. Your approach to the Christian life can't be like you would approach algebra. I just got to garner more information. But listen, I know from being a pastor for many decades, I know from a season that I went through, and it's longer than it should have been, a season that I went through when that was my approach to the Christian life. I need to read the Bible, learn what's right and wrong, and then develop an approach of how I am going to do better at doing what's right and avoid the things that I know are wrong. That's not the Christian life. It's not. That's back to the Garden of Eden, where there were two trees that specifically get mentioned. One is the tree of life. The other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And many people, when they read the Bible, they're just eating off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they're just learning the difference. And then they thumb their noses at everybody is doing bad because they've learned, well, this is right and what's wrong, and all you bad people, right? That's not the Christian life. You don't come to the Bible and then develop a self-made strategy of how to be a better you. Jesus didn't come to make you a better version of yourself. He came that you would die to yourself so that you would pick up the life that is truly life. Him. Himself. This is not a strategy for how to do better, be a better person. And the Christian bookstores, online stores, or whatever, they're filled with self-help books on how to overcome whatever habits and hang-ups and hard things you're going through and all. The Christian life is not a self-help strategy. But if many were honest, that's how they're approaching the Christian life. They're doing it independent and out of fellowship with the very God who they say lives right here within them. And what we're talking about is, what does it mean to have a personal relationship with that God? The Jesus that you read about in your devotions this morning doesn't live in this Bible. He lives in you. And I know that this sounds edgy and bordering on heresy, but I honestly think we've elevated the Bible too much and minimized too much the role of the Holy Spirit within. And I want to try to describe that here in just a moment. But we are in danger of making this into an idol. And I say that in a very serious and sobering way, because I have a very high regard for Scripture. I have a very high degree of trust in the reliability that this is God's word. But the Pharisees, Jesus said, you guys search these scriptures because you think that in them you will find eternal life. But it is they, these words, that speak of me, and I'm right in front of you. The Jesus you read about this morning in your devotions doesn't live in here. He lives in you. And I like to make the distinction between the written word and the living word. Now, one of the ways God speaks to you personally is through the word. But just having the word does not mean that God is speaking to you. In that sense, you need to take this off the pedestal that you put it on. Because many, many people have access to this word, but it leads them into very different places than where you or I might go, because they don't have the Spirit of God helping them understand it. And so if you've ever heard of Mormons, Mormons have a Bible. They have this Bible. But they come to very different conclusions about who Jesus is and who you are and what your place is in the kingdom and what the future looks like. They have a very different idea. They have the Bible. That doesn't mean they've heard from God. Jehovah's Witnesses have this Bible. They come to a very different conclusion than you or I would. Jehovah's Witnesses, when they read John chapter 1, they hear this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Jesus was a God, just like you can be a God. And you can someday rule over your own little galaxy. You can be a God like Jesus is a God. No, that's not what the text says. It says Jesus is God. He's not a God, one among many. He is God. See, it's possible to have access to this, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit's help in understanding this, you will come to completely different conclusions. We need to know that the Spirit is the one who helps us understand this. Without the Spirit, we won't make sense of this. Let me illustrate this as best I can. Why do we need the Holy Spirit's help to understand the Bible? Because the reality is, people can read the Bible, but that doesn't mean they're hearing from God, speaking about whatever the topic is they're reading. Many people read this and come to crazy conclusions. But God does speak through the Bible. Yes, he does. By the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because without him, we won't make sense of it. Let me give you an illustration. A couple weeks ago, I got on eBay because I'm getting ready for spring. And I'm kind of picky about my power washing stuff. There's only a couple car washes in town that I will even go to. The rest of them won't get my money, but there's a couple in town that'll get my money. And the reason is because they have this wonderful little wand that kind of is on a spring and you can bend it around. And I want to be able, when I wash my car, I want to be able to get underneath the wheel well and spray all the, I live on a dirt road. I want the mud off the wheel well on the inside. You know what I'm talking about? So I get on eBay. I'm like, how can I have that at home? I got a power washer at home. I want to be able to do this at home. And I found this wonderful little device and it was dirt cheap on eBay. And so I bought this thing. It's the one in the middle. See, it attaches to my power washer and I can put it up in the wheel well and spray it out. But guess where this thing is made and where it's coming from? You know. Yeah, it's coming from China. So I buy this thing for 15 US bucks, at least I think it was. I don't know. It was Chinese money. I don't even know how they do that. But they got my money, and about a day or two later, I get an email from the seller. And this is what the email says. This is no joke, word for word. I am not the sharpest tack in the box, but when I get this email and I'm looking at that going, I'm trying to... Danke für Ihren Dummkopf. That's what I read. Dummkopf. Like, what is... I know enough to know this is German, but I don't speak enough German to make... I'm trying to, like... Okay, so I'm just like, I don't know. I do what any American would do in the 21st century. I copied this and pasted it into Google Translate. And here's what Google Translate tells me. This is what... Dear the fish pastor... Thank you for shopping. The product you ordered has been shipped, and we have received a notification from the logistics provider. The logistics in some parts of Germany are affected. Now, time out. What does Germany have to do with any of my ordering from China? I don't know. And parts of Germany are affected by what? What's happening here? What am I supposed to expect? I don't even know at this point. Am I going to get this package? Is it going to end up in Berlin? What's going on here? The logistics are affected. This leads to delivery delays. Please wait patiently. I think everything will pass. What is he talking about? Does he have a colon issue going on here? What? I think everything will pass. What is it? What? I wish you a speedy return to normal life. And I'm going like... Dude, I live in Western South Dakota, and I forget the rest of the world's on lockdown and wearing masks everywhere. I wanted to email this guy back and going, I don't know, I've been living a pretty normal life for the last several months. I'm doing all right. Speedy return to normal life. If you have any questions, please reply to this email and contact us. Please do not communicate directly with eBay. Thank you for... Oh, for what? Thank me for what? Anyway... My point in all of this is I get an email in German. I couldn't understand it. I needed the help of Google Translate to make sense of the communication that they were trying to send me. And here's the reality. You can read this, but it's just going to be gobbledygook to you. If God himself does not help you understand this. Now, here's how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. This is what it says. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. And they cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. You can read this, but it will not make sense to you. You cannot make sense of the things of God without the Holy Spirit's help. And when the Holy Spirit helps you understand it, that is what I'm going to tell you is God speaking to you personally through the Holy Spirit, through his word. And I don't know if you've had this experience, but I bet you have. Where you've been reading, and if you've been reading the Bible for any amount of time, for years or whatever, you read a passage of Scripture and you're like, huh, I don't make sense. But then you read it and one day, it's like all of a sudden, pow, it just jumps off the page and makes perfect sense to you. Like, where was that word when I was reading it a year ago? I don't remember reading it. When did God put that word in here? It's been there the whole time. But by the power of his Spirit, in that moment, God's using this word to minister to your heart and speak to you personally. When I was in high school, there was a chorus that we used to sing. It's a combination of a couple different choruses, but one of the parts of that chorus was a song directly from a Bible verse in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. But to act justly or do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And when I was a teenager, I would sing that song out loud in my car a lot, coming home from youth group. And I would sing that song out loud. I had about a 20-minute drive. And I'll just sing it, worshiping God. And I'm singing over and over again. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. You should do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Well, one day here, I don't know, a few years ago, I'm reading that passage, a passage that I had memorized when I was young. I knew that I'd heard this passage, read it over and over and over again. But one day, I'm reading that passage, and this phrase jumped off the page like I had never seen it before. And the phrase was that we are to do what's just. And it dawns on me. I love justice. But that's not what I'm told to do. I'm told to do justice. When I was a kid, my favorite phrase was, "That's not fair!" Because I love justice. And as I got a little bit older and I learned what's right and wrong, it became really a fun game. All of us Christians know how to play this game. It's the fun game of, let's find out who's doing something naughty and talk about them and put them in their place. Well, I can't believe the way those people are behaving. Don't they know what God's word says is right and wrong? But they've forgotten. They've lost their sense. They've lost their moral compass. Those bad, bad people out there. And we love justice. But when it comes to the word justice is a way of saying what's right and what's wrong. And in Micah 6:8, it says, you do it. You do it. Not you make sure your neighbor's doing it. You do it. But when it comes to your neighbor, how are we supposed to act? Well, that's where you love mercy. And I knew it was God showing me this stuff. Like, I'd been there the whole time. And all of a sudden, I started to understand it in a way I'd never understood it before. My job is to quit worrying about what everybody else is doing, whether it's right or wrong, and put my focus on me doing what's right or wrong. And when it comes to other people, I need to love mercy because they need it, and so do I. And I need to love it. I'm never told in that passage, make sure you love justice and put people where they belong. No, I'm to love mercy. And I'm to walk humbly with my God. Now, I'd read that passage over and over again. But in that moment, through God's Holy Spirit, through his word, he was speaking something that my heart needed to hear. God speaks through the Holy Spirit. You can't understand these things without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you have read Scripture and it's like a light bulb has come on and you understand it, that's God's work in your heart. That's him speaking to you through his word to you personally. And it's life-changing because now all of a sudden I wake up in the morning and when I'm spending time with the Lord, often I will say things before I even open this. I will say, God, you know, I have a routine. And I get up in the morning and I make coffee. And then I open the word before I get on with my day. And I just want to get... But you know me and you know I can just see this as another thing to do. Check it off my list and go about my day. And I don't want to do that today. I want to hear from you. And I like to make the distinction between the written word and the living word. Jesus is the living word. When you hear from the living word as you're reading the written word, that is God speaking to you in a personal way. That's what I'm after. If all I'm doing is just a human exercise of me reading this so I can go about my day, then I might as well hang it up because I'm wasting my time. When I come to this, I want to hear God speak to me. And I will tell you, this is the place to begin when you're trying to understand what it means to have a personal relationship with God and to hear from God. Start right here. Dive into this thing like a hungry horse, asking God to speak to you, help you understand this stuff. Because admittedly, there's a lot of stuff in here that's confusing, very difficult to understand. But the Holy Spirit can help you see things that you've never seen before, even if you've read that same passage over and over again. In Acts chapter 8, here's another illustration. In Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit tells Philip, I want you to go out in the middle of the desert because there's an Ethiopian sitting on a carriage and he's reading the scripture and I want you to go talk to him. So Philip does that. He goes out in the middle of the desert. There's an Ethiopian on a carriage and Philip comes riding up alongside of him and says, hey, what you reading? He says, well, I'm reading out of this scroll in Isaiah, but I don't understand what I'm reading. Is the author here, is he talking about himself? Is he talking about the Jewish nation? Who's he talking about? And right in that moment, Philip began to explain to him what that passage meant and how it represented Jesus. And he was the suffering servant. And in that moment, that Ethiopian gets saved and gets baptized. The Ethiopian couldn't understand what he's reading. He needed help. You and I, we read this. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand what we're reading. But when the Holy Spirit helps us understand it, that's him speaking to you through his word in a very personal and real way. The Bible without the Spirit leads to all kinds of crazy things. And that's where cults come in and false teachings come in. So it's important to make that distinction between the written word and the living word. We want the Spirit of God himself to minister to us and keep us from just reading this and then going off about our day without him. God speaks through his word. He also speaks through prayer. And what I've come to see is that prayer is a two-way communication. When I was a kid, it was often asked at bedtime, did you say your prayers? Did you say your prayers? But I've come to understand there's a big distinction between did you say your prayers and did you pray? Because saying your prayers is a religious routine. Praying is a conversation in a relationship. And the way Jesus described it was, praying was, you close the door to your private room, no one else there. Between you and your Father, you have a conversation. He says, the Lord, the Father who sees in secret will meet you in that place. He'll meet you there. Now listen, you know the quality of that relationship that you have with your Father. And you know if you're avoiding him. You know if it's uncomfortable to be alone with him. And let me just tell you that if that is the case, if you find yourself uncomfortable to be just you and him alone with no one else around and to engage a relationship with him, there's something going on in your relationship that's not right. And it always comes back to a false belief that you have. If you know him, you'll love him. If you know him as he really is. And what religion has done to so many people is given us a false idea of who he really is. And then when ideas have consequences, and when we start with a false idea, it leads us in all kinds of weird directions. And we will avoid getting alone with God. But when you get alone with him and you get over that mistrust and the discomfort, you will find that he will minister to you in a voice that is gentle and kind and merciful. One of my favorite teachers, Michael Wells, talks about how there are only two kinds of people who are interested in sheep: shepherds and butchers. And they're interested in sheep for different reasons. And what we have to do is start learning to discern the difference between the shepherd's voice in the butcher's voice. Listen, every morning you wake up, your head still on the pillow, your eyes open, and immediately there are thoughts that are running across the radar screen of your mind. The question that we don't ask often enough is, whose thought is that? Is that God's thought? Is that Satan's thought? Is it my thought? Whose thought is that? And so Paul says we're supposed to take every thought captive. And the way I think of that is when a thought comes dancing across the radar of my brain, I grab that thing by the throat and I look at it and I go, wait a minute, who are you and where'd you come from? Whose voice is this? Is that God's voice? Satan's voice? And part of what it means to develop a personal relationship with God is learning that very thing, is discerning whose voice is that. And when you start to understand the difference between a shepherd's voice and a butcher's voice, you start to know the shepherd's voice is gentle, is kind. And when he brings a conviction, it's specific. It's a specific thing, and his reason for bringing it up in your mind is, hey, you remember what you did yesterday at 2 o'clock when you were at such and such location? You remember that thing you did? That's how the Spirit works. Do you remember that specific thing? And he'll bring it up for this reason and this reason alone. He wants you to repent of it so that you can receive his forgiveness and be restored. His goal is always restoration. When the enemy brings up your failures, he's not as specific. He has a tendency to be much more broad and general in his condemnation. And instead of saying, you remember what you did at 2 o'clock, he'll say you are. Instead of you failed, he will say you're a failure. And there's a big difference. If I failed, then I can repent of it and find forgiveness for it and move on from it. But if I'm a failure, how do I fix that? And he'll use that voice in your head over and over again. You're a loser. You're a failure. And he won't just come and look you right in the eye and have a conversation. He doesn't have that kind of guts. Because he knows you'll look at him and go, you're the enemy. Get out of here. So he doesn't act that way. Here's how he acts. He sneaks up behind you and he whispers in a voice that sounds exactly like your voice. And he says, I'm a loser. And you'll turn around. You won't see anybody. And you'll just think, yeah, I'm a loser. I feel hopeless today. And you'll look and you'll be like, yeah, I feel hopeless today. And right in that moment is where we fall into trouble, is because you agree with a voice that he's put in your head. Now, for those of you who think, well, God doesn't talk, I've had conversations with people who think God doesn't talk today, but those very same people are convinced the enemy can put thoughts in your head and he can speak to you. And I'd be like, then why would you give more power to the devil than you give to Jesus? If you're convinced the devil can talk to you and convince you to do stupid things, why is it so hard for you to believe that Jesus could talk to you and be speaking to you in a way that's just as real and just as personal and lead you down a completely different path? You got to learn to discern. And the way you do that is you become familiar with his voice. And how you get familiar with his voice is you become much more familiar with this, because he will never say things to you that disagree with this, never. He'll never tell you to divorce your wife. That's not the voice of Jesus. That's someone else. The difference between having prayer be a two-way communication where you close the door and it's just you and Jesus is you become a Pharisee, and the only time you pray is when you're being seen by others. Attention, everybody, we should pray before this meal because I'm spiritual, so let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this food. It's not between you and Jesus. I'm not saying that if you ever do that, it's not, but you know what I'm saying? Jesus said those kind of people pray because they just love everybody else to think they're a really spiritual person, but the Father never hears from them in private, these same people. And when you're alone with God, you begin to discern those voices. And pretty soon, I think you will discover that those neat thoughts you've had about God all along have not been your thoughts, but they've been thoughts that he's been putting in your head about him. Because he wants you to know him. And he wants you to trust him. And he wants you to know you are not alone in this world. It's not just you and a Bible and then you go figure it out. It's you and a Bible and the Spirit of God in you and your time alone with the Father and the people that he's put in your life and the church, all those combined for us to be able to be better at hearing God in a personal way that makes a difference, so that we're not just living the Christian life like this. I figure out what's right and wrong, and I do my best to do what's right, and then when I die, I go to heaven. That's not the Christian life. For many people, that is, but that's not the Christian life as described in the Scriptures. It's just not. So here's what we want to do this morning, is we want to create a space. We want to create a space for you, personally, to hear from God. Now, I know that that's a loaded statement, and for some of you, you're like, oh my goodness, this is going to be awkward. Well, let it be awkward then. But for others of you, maybe this will be the first time you've actually experienced just listening. What is Jesus saying to you personally through the Word and through His Spirit in prayer? The gals are going to be just leading us in a song, and then we're going to have some scriptures up here on the slides for you to just ponder and reflect on and take this posture. God, I'm ready to hear what you would have to say to me, and I'm listening. So speak.